Today we're going to talk about the cause of Yisro's reluctance to go to Eretz Yisrael. And we'll begin the conversation with, or we'll begin the discussion with, I have here the in the middle of Parshas Baloscha, the Torah tells us in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chavtes, Vayomer, Moshe Lechova ben Reuel Hamidjani, Chosein Moshe. Moshe says to Chova, the son of Reuel, he's got a lot of names, Yisro. So here's the follow up. Moshe, Nosim Anachtu Ala Makom Asher Amar Hashem Oso Etei Lachem. We are going to the place. We are traveling to the place that God said, I will give to you Lecha Itaru. Go with us. Veitavnu Lach. It'll be good for you. And we will be generous to you. Ki Hashem Diber Tov Al Yisrael. Because Hashem has spoken, Hashem has promised to be generous to Klal Yisrael. So if you're with us, so Hashem's going to be generous with you too. Yisro says, not so fast. Vayomer love. Yisro says to him, Lo elech, nah, I don't want to go. Ki im el arti vel molati elech, I will go to my land, to my birthplace. Moshe says back to him, Vayomer al na tazov osadu, please don't leave us. Ki al ken yodata chadosein bamidbar, you know where we should go with our campments in the desert. Vayisla lay daim, you're going to be our guide. We need you. And when you go with us, whatever Hashem gives to us, whatever good he does to us, we will do to you. And that's it. And we don't know what happens. We don't know the end of the story. So, first question is, let's just try to analyze, right? We have Moshe trying to persuade Yisro. Yisro's response, and then Moshe's response back to that. So what's Moshe's initial argument to Yisro? Why is he trying to convince Yisro to come?
He wants to stay with Israel. He was the one that was when they had the Aseret Dibrot, he was there.
Right, he was there. I think he simply said, I think it seems on the surface he's telling him, you're one of us. Lechai Tano will be good for you. And like, you know, whatever happens to us, the good that happens will happen to you. Maybe Yisro's not sure. Is he an outsider? Is he an insider? Not so sure. Look at the Ramban here. The Ramban says, Kvar peirashti ki chovav shem chadash shekrol Yisro kasher shav latoras Yisro. Ah, he's called Chovav. Why? Because Chiba, right. Well, he's beloved now. Why? Because he joins the Torah of Klal Yisrael. Because now he's called a different name. So after he converts, he's a different name. Moshe pleaded with Yisrael to go with him. And he says to him, Stam beitav nulach, will be good for you. We'll do good to you. Okay, so he thought that they would give him the spoils, the gold, the silver, the clothing, the sheep, the cattle. But what wouldn't happen? What's Yisro's response? V'lo tia lo nachla b'socham. So all Moshe is promising is spoils. But Yisro's like, well, I'm not going to have a land. That's what he didn't want. Very practical. V'ana, and his response, what did he respond? I'm going to go back to my land, to my birthplace. Yeah, you're going to give me kavod and property. I can go back home and I'll also have kavod. I'll have honor and I'll have property. So that didn't work. So then Moshe tries the second tactic. We need you. You know the desert. You could be a guide for us in conquering the land, and you can help us which way we should travel. And whatever Hashem gives us, he's going to give you. In other words, what's he saying? Remes latet lo achuzah be'eretz tova bischaral tarchov ezratosh yazim kibush haaretz. He says, listen, you didn't hear what I said the first time, Yisro. whatever good Hashem gives us, he will give to you. You don't think if he gives us a land, you're going to get a land as well. Okay? So that is the conversation between Yisro, Moshe, first Moshe to Yisro, back to Yisro. And what's fascinating is when the Torah leaves us hanging and leaves us to guess what exactly happened. Because the Torah never tells us, did Yisro go with him or did Yisro not go with him? And the truth is, this is connected to a little bit of Parshas Yisro. We're not doing that tonight, but the truth is, for a fuller discussion, you have to read also Parshas Yisro, because at some point, when did he come to Moshe, when did he return, and how you sort of reconcile that piece as well. But it's not clear, and the truth is, the Mefarshim are split. But what do you think? You think Yisro went with Moshe? You think he bought the line of the argument? Did he not? Based on what the Torah says, right? Now, if you just have this information, Moshe says something to Yisro, Yisro responds, and then Moshe says back to him. Well, what would you say?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Sorry, first Judah. What do you want to say, Judah? Wait, first Judah, and then we'll get Gila.
You never hear about Yisro again, so my presumption is that he went home. We went back.
Okay, so we don't hear from him again, so he probably went home. Okay. Gila, what do you want to say?
They're saying that also he left some of his children over there, but he by himself left.
What's your evidence to say that, Gila? We need evidence.
Then I think you have it here about Shevet HaKeni.
Yeah,
it's related to Yitro, right? So
right.
There was some in Yericho, there was Shevet HaKeni.
So in other words, from the Torah here, there's no evidence as to what happened, to what Yisro did. But then, if you go to Sefer Shoftim, you peek a little, Gila, which is good. It's okay to peek a little. If you look in Sefer Shoftim, and you see Perek Aleph Pasuk Tzayin, Uvnei Hakeni Chosein Moshe Alu Meir Tamarim, talks about the children of Keni, another name potentially of the father of Moshe, his descendants went up from Ir Tamarim, from the. I'm sorry. He went up from the. They went up from the town of Tamarim of the date palms at Bnei Yehuda to Midbar Yehuda Asher B'Negev Arad Ve'ech Ve'Yishev Sam. They live with the people, so we find that Yisrael's children are there. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel believes that Ir Tamarim was none other than Karta Yericho, because Yericho apparently had a lot of palm trees. So what's clear is that, again, in this week's Parsha, there's no evidence as to what Yisrael does, but we know in Sefer Shoftim that his descendants find their way to Eretz Yisrael. So based on this, the Ramban, at the end of that, the Ramban that we just read, The second to last, third to last line, he says, "Valdati kinisratza elav baza." See what happens? Let's say we have an argument. I try to convince you, then you try to convince me back, then I try to convince you back, and then you're silent. So what do you think that means? Shtika kehoda'a. Silence is like agreeing. Moshe has the last word. So usually when someone has the last word, it can either be because the person, why doesn't the person respond? Either because I could care less what he has to say, or maybe I agree to what he has to say. Ramban says that we find that Moshe has the last word. Yisro has no response. So presumably, that means that he was convinced. And he did this, as I mentioned there, I guess Ramban in Parsha Yisro says this as well, and it's the Chacham Rubi Yerushalmi, and the Talmud Yerushalmi says explicitly, "Bnei Keni Chosin Moshe Mevi'in V'Korin Dichsiv L'cha Itana V'Tav Nilach." So what does Mevi'in V'Korin? So the halacha is for Bikurim, when you bring the first fruits, right, your first crops to the base of Migdash. So not only do you bring the first fruits, but what else do you do? You also say some psukim. And you say, "Oh, I was Arami Obed Avi, Vered Mitzrayma. I was a stranger, and my ancestors went down to Egypt, and they enslaved me. And then we came, and what do we say? and we thank Hashem for giving us this land. And the halacha is that only someone who has an inheritance in the land can say this pasuk, can say these psukim. And the Rishami says that the Bnei Keni, they can say this. So what must this mean? That they got an achuza, they got a lasting inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, based on the Yerushalmi, and presumably based on Sefer Shoftim as well, that Yisrael's descendants were living in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Yisrael goes with them, and they and Yisrael had no response to Moshe, and so that means he was convinced and he stayed there. That's the Ramban. Abar, but not everyone agrees. This is a major machlokes. I'm just showing you some. You can look at the Mefarshim, and they have different opinions. And, you know, the Abarba now, for example, says, V'nira, it seems to me, she Yisro azav ha'akum shahayelo baritzo v'niskayer v'shav el holokim. Seems to me, says the Abarba now, Yisro left idol worship that was in his land, and he converted, and he returned to God, because after all, he came to Klal Yisrael, when what? During Aseres Adibros, presumably. That's why it's called Chovav. They're called Mitkayer, we saw before, like anyone who converts. And therefore we find that his children, Shehayu Yoshvim Baretz Yisrael, his children who were living in Eretz Yisrael, Kemo Shekasuv B'Sefer Shoftim, like what's written in Sefer Shoftim, Ubnei Keni Chosein Moshe, the children of Keni, the father-in-law of Moshe, Olu Me'ira Tmarim, they ascended from the city of Tmarim, Midbar Yehuda. V'nemar v'chever keni nifrad mikayin mibnei chovav chosein Moshe v'umorea ki ayu banav nilvim Yisrael. So again, Abarbanel says, well, we find that Yisro's children are living in Eretz Yisrael, as we find in Sefer Shoftim, they're living there. But that being said, Abarbanel says, I think it's more correct to say, she Yisro lo kibel tanos Moshe. When Moshe tells Yisrael, you got to come with us. We'll do good to you. And Yisrael says, no, I want to return to my homeland. And then Moshe says, no, you got to come to us. We need you as a guide. And Yisrael doesn't respond that he agrees. So he didn't. Like, that's more like what Judah said. He didn't accept. He didn't accept the claims of Moshe. V'yelech lo el artzo. He went back to his homeland. Ki bitshuvaso harishona, with his first response, saying, I'm not interested in coming with you. I want to return to my homeland. Gila es kol chafatzo. He clearly stated what he wants. Amnam achare ubanav vizaro lios b'nei Moshe v'aron kovem bo lis yashiv b'sochav. So I think it should be achare chen. But afterwards, I guess his children, or after some time, his children and his descendants came back. In other words, the fact that in Sefer Shoftim we read that Yisro's descendants are living in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't necessarily mean that Yisro went with Moshe and accepted his claim. It could simply mean that maybe some of his descendants went to live with Moshe and Aaron, which makes some sense. In other words, maybe they don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's wait and see what happens. And only when they see what happens, so then they come to live in Eretz Yisrael. So again, what we've seen so far is that we've seen that, again, we have this narrative in the Torah, Moshe tries to convince Yisrael, and he said, it'll be good for you to come with us. He said, nah, I'm going to return to my homeland. And Moshe says, no, we need you as a guide, and whatever God gives to us, he'll give to you. And the Ramban says, he's hinting that he will give Yisrael an achuza, a lasting inheritance, a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. And we've seen that the Mefarshim are split, because the Torah is not clear. The Mefarshim are split as to whether Yisrael ends up going with Moshe. We do find that Yisrael's descendants are in Eretz Yisrael. Also, by the way, in the story of Yael and Sisra, I don't have it here in the source sheet here, but the story of Yael and Sisra, right, when Sisra was killed by Yael, so she's from Chever HaKeni. She's also from the descendants of Yisro as well, in the story with Devorah. So in any case, it seems Yisro's descendants are there. So Ramban says, why are his descendants there? Because he listened to Moshe. Moshe had the last word. Yisro didn't respond. And Barbara says, no, There's no evidence that Yisroel accepted his claim, and he went back to his land, and maybe his kids went back later. Now, why does Yisroel, at the end of the day, hesitate? Why does he hesitate? And why, perhaps, ultimately, does Yisroel not go with Moshe Rabbeinu? Why not? So I just want to share with you two different approaches. A positive approach and a negative approach. In other words, what's clear, we don't know whether Yisroel at the end of the day goes with Moshe or not. But what's clear is after Yisroel sees Matan Torah, you know, the giving of the Torah, the miracle, he hears about the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, like why does he hesitate? Again, at the end of the day, maybe he goes with Moshe. Not clear. But why does he hesitate to begin? Why does he want to turn back to his homeland? This is the chosen people. He could brag about his son-in-law. Okay, he's not a doctor. I can't say my son-in-law is a doctor.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Can I just break one second?
Yeah.
Back in Yisroel goes back to his land, right? Now, this is happening a year later.
Yeah.
At a second pace.
So that's a debated point. I didn't feel I had the time to really go through. Maybe I should have done that. But to have a fuller discussion, you have to compare Parshas Yisro and here, does he leave and come back? So that's a question. That's a debated point, Mike. It's not clear. It's a debated point as to when Yisro comes, right? Does he go? It says, right? He went. When it says in Parshas Yisro that he went back, was that earlier or was that actually now? That's a debated point. So I can't tell you definitively because I'm a Farshim to debate that point.
Okay.
But it's the question you're supposed to ask, and I'm happy you asked it. I probably should have put it in here, but okay, maybe next time I teach this. So, but it's the question you have to ask. You have to look at all the information. So the question is, why does Yisro hesitate and perhaps not ultimately not go with Moshe? So the truth is, you can look at it in a positive sense. The Malbim looks at it in a positive sense. How can it be, after Yisro witnessing the miracles, or hearing about the miracles, Kriyas Yamsuf, witnesses Mamad Arsina, how can he not want to go with them? So the Malbim says, he says in a positive light, if you're a shalom person, if you're someone who's pure, is whole, complete, you're not going to do something to get a present or because you hope of getting something, some kind of benefit. You do good because it's good. See, you know why Yisro said initially, I don't want to go? Because you know what Moshe said? Moshe said, you know what? You know what's Moshe's argument? Moshe said, come with us and we'll give you wealth, we'll give you reward. And Yisro's like, what do you think I have? What do you think I have? You think I'm going to go for some reward? I don't need your money. I don't want to go for that reason. If that's why you want me to go, simply to get some money, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather be Chabad. I want to go back, whatever. I want to proselytize. I want to do Kiruv. I want to go back to my hometown and say, guess what I saw? Guess what I witnessed? I witnessed Mamad Har Sinai. And I want to go back to publicize faith in God and to convert my people. So the Malbim interprets Yisro's hesitation to go with Moshe in a very positive light. Because if Moshe had said to Yisro, listen, we need you to come with us because this is the chosen land. This is where, you know, we can best serve God, or we need you to help us and conquer the land. Of course he would have gone. But why didn't he go? Because the only reason why I want to go, Moshe to go, is so he can get some wealth. He doesn't need wealth. He's a man of purpose. And he'd rather go back home and convert his people. And by the way, that's perhaps one way of understanding maybe why he went home ultimately and didn't go with Moshe and why his kids came. Because he went back to convert everyone. And of course his kids went. So obviously they saw it. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael. But you can look at Yisro not coming with Moshe in a positive spin. But what I find very fascinating is the Chizkuni, the one line of the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says, Ki im el artzi ve'el molarati eilech. He tells Moshe, I don't want to go back to my land. I don't want to go back to my birthplace. Why? Lo aniach havadai bishvil hasafek. Why should I leave a certainty for a doubtful situation? I mean, you have to try to understand that. He witnessed Mamad Har Sinai. He witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. But notwithstanding the miracles that he witnessed, the safety, the comfort of his own home pulls him much more than, you know, going with Moshe, right? The Lashon, by the way, you know, Nosim Anachnu, right? By the way, this Lashon, you think about Nosim, Nisia, to completely uproot yourself. You know, when you think about Ki'im Al-Artzi Ve'Molati Elech, perhaps, you know, there's another time in the Torah where someone left Artzicha Molatcha, Avram Avinu, right? Avram Avinu left it means going with Klal Yisrael, by the way, you know what that means? It means completely uprooting yourself from your past, from your homeland, from your birthplace, completely detaching yourself into an unknown future, notwithstanding the fact that you witnessed all these miracles. And I think in this explanation, I think that we see the challenge of taking on something new, taking on something in an unknown fashion. It's one thing for Yisro to come to Har Sinai. It's one thing for him to say, Moshe, go back to Egypt. I give you my bracha, my blessing. And it's one thing for him to go to Har Sinai, you know, where he witnesses this revelation and you know, sees all these miracles. Yeah, that he can do. But to uproot your familiar surroundings and to do something new which you're not used to, which makes you feel uncomfortable, that's the great challenge. That's the challenge of Yisro. It's somewhat easy to observe Judaism when you have nothing to lose. The challenge often comes when we have to make a sacrifice for possible spiritual growth. You know, always when we try to encourage people to take on new mitzvos, or learning more, davening more, growing in Torah and mitzvos and Torah values, so, you know, we try to say, how can we convince people to expend the least amount of energy so that they can get the greatest spiritual bang for their buck? Because people are busy, they have time, and they're nervous, right? But it's very difficult to say that, you know what, I'm going to leave my comfortable surroundings for a possibility of spiritual greatness. I don't know what Eretz Yisrael is going to look like. I witnessed these miracles, but I don't know what's going to be. And we see the challenge. Now, sometimes we see, you know, like people have unbelievable miracles in their lives. People go through things and they have, you know, unbelievable moments of tremendous clarity and faith. They feel so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, why doesn't it last? And that's the big challenge. The big challenge is being willing to follow Avram's path when we believe it's the right thing, being willing to leave the Vadai for the Safek when we think that's the way to go. That's the challenge of Yisro. You can see you have all those powerful, momentary, you know, inspirational moments. And then comes the challenge, to leave the Vadai for the Safek. And Yisro was initially, according to Chizkuni, not willing to do that. And ultimately, does he do that? We're left unknown. We're left unknown, but I think the Torah perhaps is presenting us with this challenge, so we're aware that this is the challenge for all of us. in our desire to grow up and closer to Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?